Well, great to be with you all at Heather here this morning. God bless you. My name is, for those of you who have never met me before, my name's Alistair Milne. I'm one of three brothers. I'm in the middle. And a lot of singing in my past, a lot of coaching in my past, a lot of extra exuberance in my past. Mom passed away 10 years ago, so the brothers were standing around Mom's grave yesterday. I'm not a mournful type of guy, but I am a reflective type of guy. And we read a from a book of poems, which my dad found, just sort of poems and songs that she had read over her lifetime. And one of the, it's funny, the Gettys there was one of the songwriters there on the second last song there. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful song, talking about the armor of God and marching, being on the winning team. And I thought, oh, that sounds like Gettys. And I'm like, I look at the far, I'm like, that's Gettys. You just pick out the music, people that are just meant to write beautiful music. I'm now in Surrey. I grew up in Richmond on a blueberry farm. And you sort of get used to that. You know, for lunch, you go out to 6 acres of blueberries, and then you pick. Mom would pay me $100 if I do this all day long. To like 7. Back in the 80s, you could make about $100, just over. I always wanted to make just a dollar over. And you'd go and they would funnel down into the bucket. Bucket gets dumped. 44 different types of blueberries, one of which is poisonous. Grows on every tree. It's called a mama berry. And it looks like a leprous berry. So there you go. There's your blueberry update. Alistair, what's going on with you right now? Right now I'm getting used to my cat sleeping with my wife and I in the bed. So our cat looks at us like it's about to devour us like a snake and sits there like King Tut. And that's the latest thing I'm getting used to over the last 8 weeks, because that thing ain't moving. And it has chosen one in the family of which he likes, and that's my wife. The rest of us can die. Yeah. So even I open up the window in the morning, and of course, if I take too long to do that, the cat swings at me, in which I have battle wounds on my right hand. But more importantly, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least I try to be, right? Alistair, what are you doing nowadays? I run camera at my church in Surrey. There's about 4 cameras, production team, and boom, boom, boom. And they try to help out a lot of people there. I help them out with music. So they got me on stage now. And it's a place that that God is using, as is God is using you folks here. You know, and so, yeah. So that's a little bit of me. Just a little. I married up. All right. I've been married 30 years. A girl that we were singing at a wedding in Kelowna when I was 12. And this girl gets out of the pool. She was 10. And she was wearing a blue bathing suit. And that was it. Every relationship of mine failed after that. That was it. It was just like, and what do you say to something that's from another planet? So she ended up getting a job at a record company called Word Records Canada. And she worked the phones. And I would walk in. And if she was there, I'd just walk right out. They're like, what do you say to someone like that? And so somehow I managed to woo her for like 9 months and asked her to marry me. So guys, there's always hope. Never write yourself off. And she sometimes reminds me, you know, I could have had anyone. I said, I know, babe, but you got me. So that's my, someone asked me just last week, my brother's kid, Janelle, he goes, Alistair, what are you most proud of in your life? I said, you mean besides trusting Christ as my Lord and Savior? Yeah, yeah. I said, marrying Catherine, wooing her enough to put a ring on her finger. That's what I'm the most proud of. Because it really does affect your life. Hey, like good friends of yours. Anybody have a really good friend out there? Yeah, right? Means a lot. You're just someone you could just go, yeah, and they got your back. You know, and so she's like that. She runs a tight ship, but I somehow seem to keep up with whatever's going on in her head. So, but that's the thing I would be most proud of. I'm a grandfather now. So next time I come, I'll wear a big beard. Cole is his name. He turns 1 this week. Yeah, I know. Out of all the stuff I do and all the stuff we do, you know what the most fun thing for me to do every week is to just pass Cole around after church for 5 hours. Alistair, you got to be kidding me. I'm dead serious. That's what we do. And we play catch. And when he's at the point now where he sort of stands up and he sort of looks at me and looks at his parents, you know, like, and then he goes like that. And then, you know, so anyways, that's a little bit about me. Let's dive into the Word of God. Let's turn to Matthew 25 today. By the way, anything I say today, it's directed at me. If you happen to be sitting there, good, okay? You can learn from my mistakes, all right? I'm a little bit older than some of you here, which basically means I've made a few more mistakes than you have. If I was to summarize something to focus on, I would say love God, love people, okay? What? It's really that's it. Yes, love God. Careful the way you talk to your wife. Careful the way you talk to your buddy. Careful the way you talk to the subway girl. Who knows? Maybe she's three people away from actually even showing up at church one day. But maybe because of your attitude, God now has to use someone else. Right? That's what I found. Learn from my mistakes. We have to put on daily the armor of God. So today, I was thinking of, if I was to describe you with one word. Oh yeah, so say we meet, we go on a hike. I buy you Subway, and then how would I describe you in one word? Do you know how you describe yourself? Go to the end of your life. How would you describe yourself? Right? Oh, I was influential. I was loving. I was warm. I was the best host on my street. I always had people over. How would you describe yourself in one word? Because something's going to happen at the end of your life and to me, which frightens me. We're going to stand before God. And in Matthew 24, there is a word that is used, which is very scary. The word is faithful. And so in Matthew 25, 21 says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So I want to talk today about how to be faithful to God. Many times, we didn't sing it this morning, but great is thy faithfulness, right? Oh God, my Father, there is no... We always know his faithfulness toward us, even though Alistair screws up. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness for the guy I hurt. And some people can't move on from that. Guess what? God does. He does not want you to mope around with something that happened to you 10 years ago. All right? Let me say that again. When you screw up, and you will, God does not want you moping around your work, your house, all right? Whatever you like to do with your hobbies, you do not have to be the most depressed person to be around, all right? Now, we all have different personalities. There is a hermit in me. I could live on an island with a guitar. Quite happy. Now, don't tell my family that. Okay. This is all being recorded. No, hey, look, there is a hermit in me, and maybe that's why I enjoy the business that I'm in, all right? I won't tell you the business that I'm in. I'll get you. For some of you don't know me, you just guess, right? What is this guy? Yeah. But I there's a part of me that can just be lost trying to do something for other people, right? And I just, it's like a sniper where I just, okay, boom, 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 okay, that's happening, boom, 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 right? Okay. So when you were younger, you sort of pick things like, oh, I'm going to be a cop, I'm going to be a fighter, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. But I bet you never thought, oh, I'm just going to be faithful. But God says, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And what you'll find in life is it's much easier to bend the rule, to not tell the whole truth. And you're going to be tempted to do that possibly even this week. And some of you are in jobs and relationships where you have to actually disclose a lot of things. And some of us have hold back. You know, something happens, you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to deal with that. Boom. And I got a few friends like that where something happens, even in public, they will jump in like a vigilante. And I'm like, ooh, man, this is going to heat up. But there are some of us in this room that are just scared and just like, oh, okay, forget it. Someone else will deal with that. Right? So, but what I have found is that faithfulness honors God. And that's what I want to talk about today. There are three. Your relationship, is Alistair getting closer to God on a weekly basis? How about on a daily basis? You should be able to notice. How does Alistair treat other people? I'm not talking my family. I love them. They're better people than I am. All right? You say, Alistair, you're just saying that. No, I'm not. I live with them. I have a very good self-awareness. Right? If I didn't have Christ, I would be very unattractive. But because of Christ, I have a warmth for people. Right? There is a joy that my mom instilled in dad, the love of music. People will still hire us to go and sing for them corporately or some event or whatever's going on, right? And so I get a lot of joy out of that. But here, Habakkuk says, he says, 2 and 4 says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Now there it is again. So faithfulness to God is what I want to talk about. Faithfulness to other people, what does that look like? And then faithfulness to the resources God has given you here on planet Earth. Right? He's given you some time. Perhaps some of you, he's given some money. How do you spend time? How do you spend your money? I met a client this week in Richmond. He goes, and afterwards, we're walking out of Starbucks, and he says, Alistair, man, I just love being around you. I said, oh, shut up. I like being around you, too. He goes, no. I don't get this in my life. I said, get what? And I was able to share with him just a little bit where that, and he seems to bring it up at every appointment. He realizes there is a difference from whatever he thinks is spirituality, and he knows the difference of what I practice. I try to follow Christ. That's what I try to do. And sometimes it leaks out and it shines. I'm just saying. Same thing with you. I can't witness to your friends. Some of you are much younger than I'm decades older than you. You have time. That's the beauty, hey? Older folks, right? You have time to adjust and mold. You say, oh, that's for someone else. No, there is a good, better, and best version of you. You know? And sometimes I was writing the other day again, and I was drawing a circle around at the restaurant I was in, just a coffee shop, and the waitress says, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to figure out a way to add value to my son. Right, so I got 3 kids, Brooklyn, married, 1 kid, another kid on the way. Summer, married Oakley, who's just added a lot. He adds a lot of joy to our life. Joe, Brooke's husband, plays in our band, drums. And then my son. And the waitress goes, really? I said, yeah, I'm at a stage in life where I don't know how to add. There's a skill set I need, which I don't have. And I'm just going to quickly share 4 C's with you because some of you may be able to relate to this. And with kids and with relationships, the first stage, the first C is the coddling stage, right? Coddling stage. The next stage is the cop. Hey, that's hot. That's cold. Get out of bed. Time for school. The cop, right? Boom, boom, boom. And then there is the coach phase. Hey, you're really good at that. You should do more of that. Hey, you're really, wow. Hey, can you teach me what you just can? Wow, the coach, right? And the stage I'm at right now is consultant, where I am not invited into a conversation unless they invite me. That is the stage I'm at. My kids are 25, 23, and 20, and they're very capable, all right? And like even with cars, my son's taking apart his brakes. He's taking apart his muffler. He's taking apart parts of the engine. I never taught him how to do this. I never taught him. But he slows the process down. He's like, I can do it. Hey, Dad, can I check this on your car? Just want to make sure. I'm just like, yeah, go ahead. Take it. That does not come, I don't think, from my side of the gene pool. All right? That comes from my wife's side. All right? But it's in there. Here, I just want you to listen to this word faithfulness. Are you faithful to God? Are we faithful to others? And are we faithful with the things that God has stewarded us to have. So here, let's start with the first one. If I was to take a picture of us today, click, and I blow it up, who's the first person you're going to look at? Right? I know. Us, ourselves. Do we look fat? Right? Is our hair done? Oh, that's my bad side. I don't know, like, I was too close to the camera. I look like I'm 100 pounds more. Okay, next time I'm in the picture, I'm going to sit back here. I'm not going to turn my body like, I'm going to be like that. Where does that come from? Jesus was not like this. Right? It was about other people. That's very self-centered. I had to grow out of that years ago. And there are flashes that come up as well. Like, it's still there. What does Paul say in the New Testament? Or even the Christian band Petra back in the day. Anybody remember Petra? Right? Way ahead of their time, right? Killing my old man, it says. You may not understand. He's a terrible man, right? What's he quoting? He's quoting from Paul. Man, I got to wrestle with my old self. Man, there's even a thorn in the flesh. Things I want to do, you know, I can't do. The things I just get drawn. It's like a magnet. And we're not even told what that thorn in the flesh was. But here, every interaction with someone else is an opportunity to add value. What if every time you walked into a room, right, your intention was to add value to it? You say, "Oh, sir, I'm just in grade 9. No, but seriously. You know, they call me pastor at work. I don't like that. That's a weight. Okay, pastor. Somehow on the construction site, it was the same thing. There's something that's happening that they're observing, right? Am I preaching at them? No. My style is much more warm. That's how I do it. You know, my secretary had a swear jar, you know, so if anyone swore, they got to put the thing in, right? I'm like, so we end up being the cops. It's kind of like the four C's. We end up being the cops in my workplace. I said, ooh, I don't like that. If someone's having a bad day, you know, we're working, you know, some of these people are better people than we, you know, I just happen to have Christ. And yeah, if they feel like, that was me. That's me. You may be very different. You're like, hey, right? But here, I just want to, every time you interact with a person, are you going to be a blessing? Notice how Jesus doesn't leave the leper as he is, right? Notice when the people are hungry, it says that he wants to go away, but he actually feeds them, right? The feeding of the 5,000. Everyone is fed. He doesn't leave them the way they are, right? What about the woman caught in adultery, right? Jesus says to her, "Where are your accusers?" She goes, "Well, they're not here." He goes, "I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more." Notice the warmth there. Even when Peter denies him, do we read of Peter sitting him down? You know, Peter, you know, you always think you're the man. I'm the man, all right? I'm the savior of the world. Why you got to do this all the time? You deny me 3 times to even a 12-year-old kid? Like, what are you? You're such a wimp, Peter. Is that how Jesus handles the situation? No, he says he loved Peter, right? He goes, "Go feed my sheep. Go feed them. Hey, Jesus, I'm really sorry. We don't know how to, but maybe you just never know what that looks like." You know, for someone who created humor, Jesus, we don't often think of that, but humor would have played a big part. We read of the kids coming up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's who's shooing them away? Get out of here. Yeah, but hey, we're trying to do adult stuff here. Yeah, that was the disciples. Do you see yourself in those situations? Jesus was like, hey, leave them alone. We don't know what he had in his pocket for them. Gobstoppers, nerds. They weren't invented then, but it was something similar. So he's like, hey, come on. There was something that he was doing that even the kids were like, we like this guy. What are they seeing? You? No, they're seeing Christ-like qualities in you. Joy, patience, all the things we're supposed to be doing as Christians, right? And the world will kick back against that. My own son-in-law, Oakley, works with let's just call it a construction company. Anybody work in construction? I have, back in the day, back when unicorns ran the earth, right? I work construction. I would describe it from what I was used to as a pirate ship. All right? In fact, when I ran my safety meetings, this is real world stuff. They wouldn't let me start until I swore. I know, we want to hear you swear. So I would make up Christian swear words, like Biklik. Okay, you little Biklicks, here we go. He's like, what's that? I don't know, but you're one of them. You, so are you, you know? I'd make up Christian swears so I could go on with the safety meeting so the WCB guy didn't write us up. All right, guys, we got to get this done. What am I doing? I'm trying to connect. And whether you like it or not, you're going to influence. The Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what I'm saying to you is, I have to be intentional. I have to be intentional about what I'm doing. Let this mind, what does it say? The daily renewing of my mind. For, you know, for me, sometimes it's minute by minute. Because I'm Irish, so technically I should be in a fight right now, laughing. All right? You're like, Alistair, what are you talking? Yeah, very friendly people, but don't cross us, right? So here, it's one of those things where Alistair should have a graceful way about him. So should you. I should meet other people's needs. Oh, watch this one, guys. Ooh, you want to learn from it? Learn to forgive. Even if you just take that away today. You're a Christian. You got to stand before the Almighty someday. By the way, you're standing in front of Him now. But we take liberty because we think we got time. We need to forgive people. Oh, that happened to me. Yeah, you did that, Rabbi. Alistair, this person said that against you. I'm like, that's pretty funny. Actually, you know what? 2% of that's accurate. Sometimes 100% is accurate. But it hurts because it's so true. Right? I need to forgive. Watch this. Because it's really, it's not what we do for a living. It's about what we pre-decide to do as we live. There was a writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. He had his car in the shop for a little while, so he takes the bus. It's just a few stops down until he gets to where he works. And what he observed was the Linda on his route for a lot of the days. Her name's Linda. She knew people's names. She knew who was going to be late. She knew who couldn't pay. This one lady's new in town. She goes, oh, it's Thanksgiving. He goes, why don't you come to my house? You have no one? No. Why don't you come to my house for Thanksgiving dinner? And he's observing this. And so he does an article in San Francisco Chronicle about Linda. What's she doing? She's living Christ. And so she was asked, what's his name? It's a church in... anyway, doesn't matter. I think his name's John Ortberg. Everyone's normal until you get to know them. Great author, great speaker. Anyway, Christian. But he goes, Linda, how do you do it? How do you maintain that mindset? He goes, she says, watch what she says. She goes, I set my alarm for 2:30 every day, a.m. And I pray for a half an hour till 3 o'clock in the morning. And I get my mindset and then I go back to sleep. And I ask God to lead me and to use me the next day. John's like, what? I'm saying, whatever you do for a living, you don't have to be the preacher. No. This, I actually enjoy this just as much as music. Because if you can learn from my mistakes, that means you get a better life than I do. All right? If you're like, you know what? I'm going to take that. I'm going to forgive my dad. Shoot, I was speaking one day. This guy walks up to me. He goes, who tipped you off about me? I'm like, I don't even know you. He goes, who tipped you off? I was talking about forgiveness. That's a big one, apparently. Right? And so, fortunately, in my life, I'm the one that's usually asking for forgiveness. But I can see their faces. Like, to think of someone right now you need to forgive. That you say, oh, sir, no. Just think of it. Just push it just a little. Like, when you see them, you're just like, yeah, whatever. It's like me and broccoli. Right? It's just like, whatever. If it's there, if I have to eat it, I'll eat it. But I'm going out the back door over here. That person you're thinking of, perhaps it's you that has to initiate that. You know, as guys, ladies, we love it when our ladies come at us, right? Hey, how you doing? Woo! It's like, hey, wait a second, right? We love that, right? But I'm just saying, with me, it's usually me that's pursuing, even now after 33 years of marriage. I said, babe, you know, it feels good, you know, to be wanted. I'm just being real. Right? So now we go from groups to now someone that I've chose to live with every, and what does that look like? And so we have a conversation. She goes, I didn't know you felt that way. Yeah, I think everyone wants to feel wanted. I'm just saying. We're human beings. Shoot, even with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's a relationship. Woo! Anyway, we got to move on quickly here, but I'm talking about your neighbors. If your neighbors don't know you're a Christian, I'm speaking to myself. Shame on me. If I get to heaven, my neighbor's walking around, I'm like, whoa, I didn't expect to see him there. And say he says the same thing about me. Didn't expect to see you here, Mr. Blue Jacket. That should not be the case. Learn from my mistakes, guys. So we should be shining Christ, mirrors. What does it say? Watch this one. This is from Philippians 2. Ouch, this one hurts. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Who are we reflecting? The Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to love them, we have to add value to them, and we have to be faithful to them. So here's another one. So that's loving people. Loving, or rather being faithful to people and loving people. The next one here, I just want to quickly whip through, and that's whatever God has given you. We have to magnify that. We have to steward that properly. I'm just saying. Like if I have a house, I should be using that for the kingdom of God. If I can sing and play guitar, I should be doing that for the kingdom of God. I'm just saying. If I have time, I should be magnifying that. Because guess what happens with Matthew 2? Actually, let's start here. Let's start with word association. If I say apple, you say?
Orange.
Okay, opposite. Okay, good. Let's do something similar first. Let's go phone. Yeah, app. Chicken. Egg. Yeah. Let's do it John's way now. Let's go opposite. If I say beautiful. Yeah. If I say truth, you say lie. Yeah. They're opposite. So I just want to follow that for a second. So knowing that we have to be faithful to God, faithful to our friendships, we can't just treat these people like like you're the king of your own story. These are character. You're a character. They're a character in a much bigger story. The story of the Lord Jesus Christ, which runs right from Genesis, the Lamb of God, right to Revelation. Read about it. That is the theme through the entire Word of God. You're just a character now in the year 2025, right? So here, what is the opposite of faithful? You say unfaithful. And that's where I would go. I've been married. I am married, right? And so I would go, no, I shouldn't cheat on Catherine. Okay. Good, unfair. No, Alistair, what if you can't use that word? What does that look like? Because I'm going to be standing in front of God. What is the opposite? So in Matthew 25, we read that the master or the business, he's going on a trip. He gives 5 talents to one. We've all taught this, right, in Sunday school. He gives 2 talents to another, and he gives 1 talent to one guy. And he goes away. It's very interesting, the progression there. Because the master comes back, right? And what's he looking for? The Word of God says. He's looking for faithfulness, right? Matthew 25, and he gave 1 5 talents, another 2, another 1, and another man according to his ability. And straightforward, he went away on his journey, verse 16. Then he had, after he received 5 talents, the one that received 5 talents and traded them with the same and made them another 5 talents. So the guy goes from 5 to 5. Great. Verse 17. And likewise, the one that had 2, he gained another 2. Verse 18. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. Okay, Alistair, where are you going with faithfulness here? Watch this. Faithfulness is actually heard a number of times here. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 more. And he gives it to him. The Lord said to him, well done, thou good and boom. Not, hey, good job, Alistair. You were so joyful. You were so warm. You were so influential. What's God looking for with me? With you? Faithfulness to what he's given us. You guys, Alistair, I just got a crummy car. Great. Let's keep it clean for a week. Huh? Alistair, I got a phone. Great. Let's maybe use that to have intelligent and intentional conversations with our unsafe friends. You got them. I got them. Some of them sit beside me in church. Verse 21, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice the joy comes after, right? He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. So now he's got 4. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful. There it is again. Servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Or thou enter into the joy of the Lord. Then which the guy that received 1 talent came and said, Lord, you know, I know you're a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and I just went and hid the talent in the earth. And here it is. What's going to be his reaction? And the Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest I reap where I have not sowed. I gather where I have not strawed. So the multiplication is actually God. So anything good here comes from above. You say, no, Alistair, I was really smart, and I invested that right, and I invested in this, boom, 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 and this relationship, I poured so much, blah, blah, and blah. No, no, yeah, but God was the one who multiplied that. See, a lot of times it's like, no, I have my degree, and so therefore I get the praise. No. No. Thou oughtest therefore to have put the money with the exchangers. He says, even if you put it in the market, you know, you could have got something. Take thou, he takes the talent from that guy, and he gives him to the one that had 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance. But from him that shall not be taken away, even that which he hath. Verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness, whoa, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Here we have a progression. The master entrusts, and then he multiplies. He calls us to be faithful with our resources, right? So with your body, you know, do you just feed junk into it? Like, these are really practical things, right? As I get older, my knees start squeaking, right? Even though I want to play with the young guys with the volleyball, and I still feel I can handle them a little bit, but then you come across those guys that are just pure killers. And they will humble you, right? And so I remember one time I injured my knee, it was a few years ago, my knee, and I could, actually one of the coolest things was playing with my son, a pastor from our church, and Doug Reed, who helps out Anvil Camps as well. And it was just the 4 of us, like this mixed bag. But I got my son on one side, and I got someone who looks like Shrek on the other, and it was just awesome. But this guy is a pure killer. Chill can just hit that thing like, that thing will bounce off your head and bounce 3 streets over. That's how hard these things are going. And I thought, great, I know my place. I can't hit. I can hit. I can coach volleyball. I coach at the school. But I'm going to set these 2 killers up. Right? Know your place of what and where you need to spend time with. Right? What about your money? That is faithful. You are being faithful when you multiply the resources that God's given you, and then God will entrust you with more. Alistair, what are you saying? I'm saying the exact opposite, going off John Singh's comment there, where he went the opposite. What's the opposite of faithfulness? I've just made a case for laziness. You say, what? No, I didn't hear that. It's in there. Think about it. How am I spending my time? Am I lazy with it? My money. Am I lazy with it? Alistair, I gave that to you. You can't even give me 10%. What's wrong with you? Fortunately, God does not do that. He's like, Alistair, like, I'm sure when I get to heaven, Jesus is going to look me in the eye and he's going to be like, Alistair, you know, that happened about 50 times. And then finally you got it. Wouldn't that, that's pretty funny, don't you think? Like, that's a comedy show. That section of your life. Just saying, if we can't talk about it, if I can't be faithful to God, faithful to people, and faithful with what he has entrusted me with, I'm making a case for laziness. That is what I'm not saying you got to get up and work. I happen to be doing push-ups right now. Can't you tell? No, just, don't answer that. But I got a buddy named Chad McKillop. He texts me January 1st. He goes, Alistair, we're doing 300 push-ups a day. I said, I'm in. So at the start, it was really hurting. And you know, January went by. And then February went by. But I tell you something. Right now, it's getting easier. Who knows what a younger guy could do? Right? We're up over 20,000 push-ups for the year. Why? Because we feel like it. You say, Alistair, that's so stupid. I said, no, it's actually remarkable what can happen if you just do this 300 times a day. Never mind something spiritual. Never mind to actually think about how to walk with God. And that's the last thing I want to talk about for the last 5 minutes. How's your walk with God? I'm not saying you got to be, but there should be people should notice. God should notice. Watch this. There is a look my wife gives me, Catherine. It's not derogatory. It's the, in fact, it looks, she did it to me yesterday. I was at a 70th birthday party and I'm talking to a couple, blah, 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 and we're laughing and blah, blah. And Catherine looks at me like this. There was nothing sinister. It was just that. You know what that look means? That means I need to be quiet. And I looked at her again. She has the same look on her face. And it's not quite give me a kiss. It's not quite I'm going to hit you. It's the look of how come I know that look and no one else in the room knows that look? Because I know my wife. Do you walk with God? Does Alistair walk so closely that I know the look? Have you? I'm serious. The first time I actually thought of this was when my mom was working at MDA just across here in Richmond. They built the arm there back in the, what was that, the 80s or 90s? Anyway. And she said, I have this burden to ask out Hei Yong Sheng to our outreach. And I said, who's Hei Yong? He goes, Hei Yong Sheng. He's one of the engineers where I work. I said, oh, well, just ask him. He goes, no, it's burning inside. So she walks up to him. She goes, Hey, Young, do you want to come with us to church on Sunday? He, you know what he said? Yes. My mom was like, oh, good. So you're interested in spiritual things? He goes, oh, definitely. I was like, oh, like it just fell on her lap. And mom was telling me this, and I was just a kid. That was the first time I realized the look. I'm calling it a look from my wife. It's something you just know. Yes, we have the Word of God. And I read this and I try to follow it. But there is also a walk where I have felt the same way, where I'm like, I need to do this. You say, Alistair, that's just intuition. That's just this. No. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it feels like I'm my chest is going to pound out of my actual rib cage. Boom! That's how strong it is. My wife actually told me to stop praying like this. I said, because I will pray like this. I'll say, God, please use me today. Please use me. Please use me. Give me your eyes. Give me your talent. Give me your voice. Please, God, let me see it. And then weird stuff happens. You say, Alistair, really? My wife said, stop praying like that. It's dangerous. Okay. You say, Alistair, wait, what's going on? What I'm talking about is the look again, where I'm praying for something and suddenly it's like, I need to ask this guy to my church or I need to take this guy out for lunch. And suddenly, boom, it's right there. So I'm just being, there is a walking, like, why did Paul, it happens in Acts 20 and 22, why did Paul leave? He said he was compelled by the Spirit, it says. And that word is demonos, eco de pumanati. Okay, I butchered that. That sounds like I'm ordering something Italian for lunch. But that means I can't explain it, but it's coming from God and I have to do it. And sometimes for you, you just hold on to a dollar too much. You can't even take your own dad out for lunch because you're used to him paying for every time. Hey, Dad, I just want to do this. And your dad's like, whoa, who's this? Maybe it's just something very simple. But when you pray and get to know God, the Holy Spirit, things of the world actually become unattractive. Right? And you will have these things where I really need to do this. You know, Alistair, we heard you sing. I do. Can you help us out on stage? Yeah, Sundays? Yeah, sure. Let's do it. But I've prayed over that before. I didn't ask for it. I'm just like, God, whatever you want me to do, you know what I'm good at. You know what I'm not good at. And guess what? Sometimes God uses the things you're not good at because he's trying to put some muscle on you so that you don't freak out next time it happens with a 50 times more, it's like an anvil landing on you. And I'll go, and other people will go, oh my goodness, this is what's happened. Nope. When we get better, when our walk gets better with God, that's the main one. That's what I wanted to save the one for. Your whole life gets better. As a matter of fact, I would say any problem Alistair has is probably a spiritual problem. I could make a case for that, right? Now, we know we live in a sinful world. We know there's disease. We know there's this. But think of the problems you got going. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I go, did I contribute to this? You know what I find? The answer is yes. That's me. You may be different. I'm looking at it going, well, I contributed to this mess. I need to apologize to you, bro. And I do. The quicker I do that, the better. I was in a meeting this week on Tuesday. Tuesday? Yeah. Thursday? Thursday. This guy was so angry at his dad, and he had passed away 25 years ago, he would think of ways to hurt him. And then he said, Alistair, this is how God came and saved me. He goes, I don't even think about my dad anymore. Can you imagine growing up in a household where your dad's beating the tar out of you? You know, this is how he grew up. I could see, but I said, man, you got to let go of that. He goes, I did. And here's how what happened. Christ filled that void. I no longer get angry. Anyways, we're talking about walking close to God. God, obedience is our responsibility. God's going to bring the outcome in your life. I hope this helps everybody. So if you remember anything else from Alistair, the guy in the blue jacket, it's not about me, it's about Christ, right? So we're going to see the triangle, get close to God. So maybe you don't have to read a chapter. Maybe for you, reading two verses a day is all you, just get used to that pattern. Kind of like my push-up thing, right? With people, you're not the man anymore. You're going to change your perspective and you're going to serve them. Can you serve the room? Can Alistair serve the room? No, get out. Can I lift someone up? Can you not have success without me going, hey man, great job. What's your name, bro?
Patrick.
Hey?
Patrick.
Can Patrick not succeed without, oh, why isn't God giving me using Patrick? I'm supposed to be a Christian? Patrick says to me, we don't know each other, so we can speak freely. But say he said, Alistair, this is what happened. My first reaction should be, man, wow. Good job, Patrick. Can you imagine the two on the road to Emmaus, right? The two on the road to Emmaus, they're walking with Jesus. What did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? It was magnificent, guys. Christ is so attractive. And we are called to mirror that in this dark world. That's it. You may have the rest of your school life left. You may go on to university. It's the same triangle, guys. You say, what about who I'm going to marry? Who's a man? By following this triangle, God, people, and your resources, you may now attract the person you're supposed to be with. Imagine that. Imagine that. Get close to God. Be faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Absolutely. Without that, I am nothing. But how about me toward my Savior? How do I spend my time? How do I spend my talents? Right? You may say, Alistair, I don't got any talent. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. My wife kicks me out of the kitchen because she's so good at her talent. I'm not even allowed into the kitchen. You say, that's not true. That is living truth. I'm not even, yeah, you know, I won't get on that. That's marriage stuff, right? We all, marriage stuff, right? You just, what works for me may not work for you. But, you know, for thankfully, God gave us both, my wife and I, a sense of humor. So besides Christ, guess what the second thing is, even before intelligence, a sense of humor. Am I able to laugh at myself when my wife calls me out? It should be yes. The pride should not be there. What, she's doing it to hurt me? No. Love God. Love people. Watch how you spend your resources. Let's pray. Thank you so much for listening. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time together. And we think of what we've read here today where, yeah, even the exact opposite of faithfulness is a case for laziness, Father. And we're all guilty of that. And so, Father, we just ask for your heart, for the things that really matter. Father, give us, bless this place, Heather. Bless the people that go here. And may this be a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. We don't need the fanfare. We just need you. Help us not to bury what God has given us. And help us to realize where our true strength comes from. So in our Savior's worthy and most holy name we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.